It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Again, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino, as well as Big Blue Nation. This is the show for you to call in, voice your opinions, your thoughts, your concerns, your questions. I'm sure that there's a lot of concerns. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. 201-939-4513 is the number to get in on the show. Paul Dottino and myself hosting today. I'll be back with Lance tomorrow, getting you ready for that Thursday night football game. And we know the situation here. Giants at 0-5, must win at Chicago, at Soldier Field, against a Chicago Bears team that has a very good rushing game, a smart quarterback in Jay Cutler, and a very solid defense. So this is going to be tough. And Paul and I were here yesterday, and I do want to kind of throw this out here and get your thoughts. The Thursday night football games, good or bad for the NFL? Because you had the Giants. They just got done, unfortunately, losing to the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. They had Monday and Tuesday to prepare for the Chicago Bears. They have to travel today around 12:30. The team leaves for Chi-Town, and then they play on Thursday. So the road team is at a huge, huge disadvantage when it comes to Thursday night football games. And I just kind of wanted to throw this out. I know this might be difficult in order to arrange schedule-wise for the NFL, but I truly believe that the road team on a Thursday night football game should be a team that's coming off of their bye week.
Wow. That's an interesting point. I happen to also believe that to make things fair, the team that's got to travel on the Thursday game should be facing a team that's had to travel on the previous Sunday, if not have a bye. Because the Bears have been sitting at home since Sunday. They didn't have anything to worry about in terms of travel or time constraints. And yet the Giants have time constraints and travel constraints that they've got to deal with going out to Chicago. I don't know if I agree with the bye necessarily. I think I understand it. That may be too hard to do. But what would have been so bad, at least to make the team that's hosting the Thursday night game have to travel on Sunday, so at least there's some equity in that both teams will have had some type of travel built into their schedule?
Yeah, because it's granted, listen, something my mom told me my entire life, Anita, life isn't fair.
And that so, it isn't.
Yes, and so I get that.
Smart lady.
But for a team that's sitting at 0-5 to have another hurdle, another obstacle, and have a short work week, get on the road and head to Chicago to take on a very good Chicago Bears team, I'm sorry, I just don't think it's fair. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in the show. I'm sure there's a lot to talk about. Again, Thursday night football, it's happening tomorrow night. Eli Manning, 12 interceptions on the season, but he still feels that the Giants have a shot in the NFC East because it is being called the NFC Least. Big news this week, David Wilson is out with a neck injury. What does that mean? A lot of work for Brandon Jacobs. The team went out and re-signed Darrell Scott. And also, don't forget, you've got Michael Cox as well. Interesting to see what he could contribute, if anything. You've got Prince Amukamara in the secondary going up against two very good wide receivers in the NFL. Alshon Jeffrey, if you do play any fantasy football, then you're very well aware that Alshon Jeffrey has really come on strong the past 2 weeks. So, Paul, first and foremost, before we head to our calls, again, 201-939-4513, what's the latest with David Wilson? What exactly happened? What is the injury? And what are you expecting from Brandon Jacobs and Darrell Scott on Thursday night?
Well, when Wilson came off the field Sunday against the Eagles, nobody was really sure what it was that had happened to him until he got to the bench and they started looking at his neck, which seemed to indicate some type of stinger injury. We were never told anything more than that it was a neck injury. And then on Monday, Tom Coughlin told us that Wilson had experienced tingling in his neck and was going for all sorts of batteries of tests to figure out exactly where he stood. The good news is that yesterday, David Wilson was out on the practice field, or should I say on the sidelines of the practice field, walking around and watching practice. And while he's been ruled out for Thursday's game, in all likelihood, because, again, it's a short schedule, I got the impression that it wasn't all that serious or he wouldn't have been here. Usually when a guy's seriously hurt, they don't allow him at the facility, and they certainly don't allow him to walk around outside to watch practice. He's inside getting treatment, or he's somewhere else at a doctor's getting further exams or tests getting done. So my gut feeling based on that observation is that David Wilson may only miss this one game and perhaps get back to practice as soon as sometime early next week. I don't think it's that serious. One never knows with a neck, but that would be my initial educated guess. At the same time, as you mentioned, Brandon Jacobs is now in a position where he says his timing has not been right since he's been back. He's been balancing off the wrong foot, cutting off the wrong foot, and that needs to be fixed. Tomorrow night in Chicago, he might wind up with as many as 15 to 20 carries.
201-939-4513. Also, all things social media here at the Giants. You can follow us on Twitter at Giants. Any questions, comments for the show that you want us to ask or share, make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat, because we monitor the Twitter feed as we host the show with you till 10:30 a.m. Maybe we'll go a little bit longer if the calls keep on reeling in. Let's go to Maurice calling in from Montclair. Maurice, you're first up on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to ask you guys, because you guys are in the locker rooms and you get to see these guys, what's the psyche like coming off of a loss to Philadelphia? And I heard you guys speak about the short week and just knowing that we're 0-5, just give us the fans on how these guys are reacting and what it's like for them mentally and how they're approaching this week.
I actually was not in the locker room yesterday. We were taping our MSG show, but Paul, you were in the locker room. What was the feel? What was the vibe? What were the guys communicating?
They're down. They're hurting. They're looking for answers. This is a team right now that is mystified not only by the fact that they've lost five in a row, but that this injury list continues to grow. I mean, Anita, there's like 16 guys on this injury list this morning, either because they did not practice or they were limited. It's just not good. I get the impression, and, you know, somebody tweeted me, the Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I almost get the impression that that's what the Giants players are thinking now. The sky is falling. What else could go wrong? How much worse can this get? You know, they just need one win in the worst way. To have any chance at turning this thing around. They just got to feel good about themselves once. And then maybe they can build off of it. But right now, it's a mess.
Will you go down the list of the players who are injured and what you're talking about?
Well, we mentioned David Wilson already. Now, other guys who did not participate in practice yesterday, and I'm not even going to talk about David Voss with his neck injury because that seems to be a long-term kind of thing. Zach Diassi has a bad back, and you know, he's had that periodically before during his career, and so you just don't know when that thing is going to act up. Hosley, Cooper Taylor, and Corey Webster out of the secondary did not practice. Webby's got that groin that's been hobbling him for a while. Cooper Taylor re-injured his shoulder. Hosley's hamstring has been hurting him now for 2 weeks. He's been unable to play, so that hurts the depth back there. DeMontre Moore pulled a hamstring in the game the other day. He was supposed to be part of the defensive pass rush rotation against Philly. And he pulled a hamstring in the game and had to come out. I mean, what else could go wrong with this team? So he didn't practice. And then, obviously, there's also Adrian Robinson, who's had a long-term foot injury, too. So those are the guys who did not work. And then limited participation, Brandon Myers, Lewis Murphy, and Linval Joseph, all with sprained ankles, although they were able to do something. And then the good news was that Terrell Thomas and Mark Herzlick, Herzlick with a toe and Thomas with a knee, were actually able to practice. Heck, I was able to practice, but coach wouldn't let me on the field.
And I don't blame him.
Oh, thanks.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Mike in New York. Mike, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Okay.
You know, last time I called in last week, I believe we'd stop McCoy, and we did. And
he had less than 50 yards, by the way. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the only good thing we can do. Seriously, PFF is ranked as the second rushing defense in the league, which I think is outstanding compared to the rest of the team. The Bears game, I think Alshon Jeffrey is a little bit overrated, not because he's not good, but because he's only getting single coverage in his past two games. He's like Reuben Randall, but, you know, he can actually catch really well. Not that Reuben didn't go off in the second half. He's looking better. I think this is a game where if we can lock down Martellus Bennett, keep him from getting third downs constantly, we might actually have a chance late in the game. We'll see.
Well, that's the problem. The Giants have had chances late in games and folded in the fourth quarter.
I know. It's the heart issue that as soon as they went down by 8 points, everybody across the board gives up. 8 points, and there's still like 13 minutes left. Yeah, it was a bad call. It was a bad throw. Don't give up. Just keep plowing.
Mike, thanks.
Doesn't seem to be Giants football this year. Anyway, thanks.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. Really do appreciate it. I just want to make a point in regard to what he was saying about LeSean McCoy. When Nick Foles came in, there was a different energy. There was a different vibe. The offense did not run the same. And one thing that LeSean McCoy is used in more so than maybe any other running back in the NFL, I don't know, Darren Sproles, I guess you can argue, is the passing game. So, yes, LeSean McCoy is a threat as a rusher, but he's also highly used. I mean, he gets anywhere between – he gets at least an average of 8 to 9 targets a game. And that changed when Foles came in. So I don't think you can kind of look and say, okay, well, how did the Giants match up against LeSean McCoy? Everything kind of changed when Vic went out. Which, by the way, did you see the video of Tuck's Charlie horse to the back of Michael Vick's leg?
I have heard about it. I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it?
I have not.
Let me call it up for you.
Okay.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's go to Ernest, calling in from Connecticut. Ernest, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask a question. Well, a couple of questions. One, do you think that Galbraith and Farewell will be there next year? And why aren't they using, do you think that if they change tight ends, Would that help on the run game?
Well, first of all, everybody's going to be reevaluated from the top right on down to the bottom. And so you're talking about the two coordinators. I certainly think that if the team continues to slide, there will be a lot of scrutiny from upper management to figure out, okay, how much of this lies at their feet, how much of this lies at the players' feet, and what can be done about it, and who are the potential options if you do want to make a change. You know, George Young many years ago taught me a very valuable lesson, and he said, before you ask the question, and that's in terms of personnel or staff, you'd better have the answer. And that's a very good lesson to learn. And so I caution you when you call for somebody's head or call for somebody to get cut, somebody's going to have to replace him, and that alternative may or may not be better, but you better figure it out ahead of time. Now, in terms of the other question, which was about what? It was about the coaches, and he had one other question he wanted to know. Tight ends. Okay, Brandon Myers has had a horrible season blocking. We knew he wasn't very good. We didn't know that he was flat out almost invisible. So I think what I want to say about that is at some point in time, the Giants are going to have to address that going into next season and figure out, because of their scheme, if they can get somebody in here who's going to be a lot more physical and willing to throw some more blocks. Because this Brandon Myers experiment, while he has been productive in the receiving game, is not really working out all that well.
I think folks also need to understand, this just isn't Kevin Gilbride's system. This is a unity of Gilbride and Eli Manning.
I mean, he is the overseer of it, and he and Gilbride are usually on the same page.
I understand. That's not where I'm going with this, though, Paul,
okay.
Is that this is really Eli Manning's offense. You have Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning working this offense together.
Yeah.
They're one unit. It's not It's very different. There are some quarterbacks out there who have an offensive coordinator. The coordinator calls in the play, and then that quarterback has to run that play. That's not what happens here.
Right.
Gilbride will call in a play, and there'll be a number of options that Eli Manning can call out of that one play, a number of formations. You bring in a new offensive coordinator, Eli is going to have to start from scratch.
Either that or the offensive coordinator does a lot of listening to Eli. You know? I mean, look what happened when Peyton went to Denver. They basically said, okay, you're bringing your playbook with you, and I think most of what the Broncos are doing are Peyton's, you know, recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's what would happen here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think if a new offensive coordinator was brought in, you'd see a lot of what Eli does with the new guy.
201-939-4513. Let's go to JD in Virginia.
Oh, wow.
JD, welcome.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Mr. Tino, Ms. Marks, it's always a pleasure. How are you doing today?
Well, we're trying. How are you?
You know what? The funny thing, I expected a little bit more energy from you. I expected some sort of fire. At least, if you have to be the only fire that's in New York, I expected that from you.
From me?
From you. You are like a raging, walking inferno with petroleum jelly through the veins. I mean,
I'm sorry.
I've been called a lot of things in my life, but I don't know that a raging walking inferno fits. But I'll take that. Why not?
Nah, the one thing is that anytime that I've seen you, you've always had a serious internal energy that, I mean, like I said, I just really wish that the team would tap into and understand that even though things are bleak and everything, even though things are bad, but because you have that NY on your helmet, everything is going to get better. Well, listen. That's my optimism talking. My question is this. Is it really, are the woes coming down to the line, either the offensive line not producing, not blocking the way they were supposed to, and the offensive line and the defensive line not getting any kind of penetration, not getting any kind of pressure? Because, of course, you're getting the pressure from the defensive tackles. Patterson is a monster. I mean, even Jenkins, Hankins had a good game last week.
Look, I'm going to make it really simple for you because we've been talking about this for 2 months now. If you cannot win the battle of the trenches on one side of the ball, it's rather difficult to win. If you can't win the trenches on either side of the ball, it is next to impossible to win. Throw on top of that all of the turnovers that this team has had. Is it any wonder that they've got a big fat goose egg in the W column? Seriously. I mean, look, man, I love you, but honest to God, it's not that hard to see why this team is a mess.
Yeah, very true. I mean, just kill all my optimism and everything. You know what? I don't like this show no more. Nah, but all in all, I guess I'm just a little optimistic because I look at the Bears game, and the funny thing about it is that every time I see the Bears and the Giants play, I always see it's like almost even. They're both hard-nosed, they're both runners, and it's something that I always feel that the Giants can beat the Bears, but you know what? I don't know who they can beat. I'm just going to watch the game.
Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to tell you the two things that have to happen, actually three things that have to happen for the Giants to be competitive and to have a chance to win this game, okay?
Thank you.
All right, here you go.
I'm waiting to hear it.
Here you go. Boom. First things first. Can you listen on the computer? Can we hang up or you need to be on hold here?
If you can put me on hold.
All right. Hold on now. This is what we're going to do. Actually, just stay alive, and I'm going to let you go in a second. This is what has to happen. First of all, they got to win the turnover battle because there's no way in the world that they can continue to be minus in the turnover ratio and have a chance. Second thing, they've got to shut down Forte at least as well as they did with McCoy last week. And now Anita's telling you that maybe they got away from him a little bit with the Philadelphia game plan, but Chicago won't. They want him to be the man, okay, because they want to take pressure off Cutler. So what the Giants have to do is suffocate Forte to the point where Cutler believes he's got to take the game into his own hands. He's usually a guy who apples up in those situations. He's been known to choke. He's been known to force things. He's been known to basically fritter the game away when he's asked to put it on his shoulders. So that's the other thing that's got to happen. The third thing that must happen for the Giants is that they must take advantage of the soft interior of the Bears' defensive line. Both of their starting defensive tackles will likely not play. Brandon Jacobs, Darrell Scott, Michael Cox. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Anita Marks. The Giants got to run the ball.
Hey, Anita can run the ball.
She can. I've seen her run. They got to run the ball, and they got to pound it, and they got to get back to smash mouth, and they got to attack the soft spot of the Bears' defense, and they need to just hammer and hammer and hammer away, get some offensive momentum going, and then take some sting out of that Chicago crowd, because they'll turn on the Bears in a hurry. They usually do out at Soldier Field. If those three things happen, the Giants have a chance. Okay?
You know, hey, you know what? Appreciate you, man. Thank you for letting me come on all hyped up, and then you tear me down, and then you build me right back up. Hey, that's why I love you, Mr. Datino.
All right,
hey,
brother.
Hey, Marsh, y'all enjoy the day. Be safe.
Thank you very much. 201-939-4513. Hey, listen, I mean, because I know there's not a lot of optimism out there that the Giants are going to walk away from this Thursday night matchup being 1-5. But any given Sunday, right? Any given Thursday night, right?
You know what, Anita? There's no way the Giants should have lost to the Panthers, and they got hammered. So you're absolutely right. Anything can happen on any day that the NFL plays, and that's why we love the game so much.
Okay. really quick, I do want to make a note. Did you hear about Brandon Marshall's green shoes that he's going to be wearing tomorrow night?
I know nothing of this.
Okay. As you know, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah.
So hopefully everybody's wearing as much pink as possible. We're seeing it on the football field.
I got purple going on this trip. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine. Just make sure you wear that pink pen.
I have it.
Okay.
I have it.
Do you know that the NFL, that they're doing away with the pink flags? Did you notice last week they had all pink flags?
Oh, I saw enough of them.
Yeah.
Well, 12 against the Giants.
Well, what was happening is that all the players were wearing the pink towels. So when the ref would throw the pink flag, no one would be able to distinguish whether it was a flag or not, because all the guys were wearing pink towels. So
interesting
anyway,
problem.
Yeah. So long story longer, Thursday night, Brandon Marshall is going to wear green shoes, and he knows he's going to get fined, but he's wearing green shoes for his foundation. You know, he was diagnosed with a personality disorder back in 2011.
Yes.
And prior to that, he had a lot of issues. He had a lot of problems.
But is he a raging inferno like I am?
Probably not.
Okay.
So the green shoes are for his foundation that focuses on and helps people with mental illness. So that is why he's going to be wearing green shoes on Thursday night. Just FYI.
Wow.
And he knows he's going to get fined, but he doesn't care. He still wants to wear them for awareness, for the foundation.
Well, because of the fact that he's going to get fined, the media will make more of an issue out of it, which means there'll be more awareness for his foundation.
And that's why he's doing it. Just FYI. Give you a little nugget there.
That's a pretty good thing.
What do you think? What happens with Prince? Because we're not anticipating Corey Webster to play. So, and let me tell you something. Alshon Jeffrey, for the past 2 weeks, has outperformed Brandon Marshall.
Marshall's been doubled the last three games, from what I understand. He had 100 yards apiece in the first two games, or maybe three. Come on, fantasy guru, tell me. Was it first two or first three? First two?
What was your question?
Marshall had 100 yards each in the first two games of the Bears, maybe three. He was lighting it up early. And then they started to double him, and
right. That's
why, you know, the other guy's getting all the yardage. Interesting.
The other guy.
Well, that's what he is right now until he does it for a season. Let him do it for a season. Then he's better than the other guy. Interesting in that we talked last weekend, how would the Giants match up with DeSean Jackson? And in the first half, the Giants went with the left-right corner combo. They did not shadow him with Prince. And DeSean Jackson got matched up with McBride on a number of occasions, and while McBride was in the vicinity to make the play, he was unable to finish a couple of plays, and Jackson was able to beat him. In the second half, the Giants then stuck Prince on DeSean Jackson and said, okay, enough of this. We're just going to put Prince on their best guy. I would think they would put Prince on Marshall, but I'm not sure. Remember, McBride spent 5 or 6 years with the Bears before he came to the Giants. So he knows a lot about Cutler, and a lot about that entire Bears system, as well as some of their receivers. So it will be an interesting matchup wherever he winds up on the field, who the Bears are going to try to attack him with, and how he responds.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Andrew in Queens. Andrew, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I'm a little bit depressed about my guys, Big Blue. I mean, I think that people are blaming too much the management and the coaching staffing a little bit too much. There's enough blame to go around for everybody. But, I'm horrible with names, but I'm great with faces. But I've been watching all five games, and even the Denver game. The Giants had a chance to win all five games if one thing was done. If the receivers would catch the ball, the running backs would hold on to the ball, and the offensive line would actually do their job and open up lanes for the running backs to run through and to keep the Eli protected. Eli made a few mistakes, but most of his turnovers and most of his picks were because the receivers, the ball go right through his hand and bounce off his helmet, and the defensive guy catches the ball magically. Or Hakeem Nicks decides, Eli, I'm going to take a break here, even though the ball's right in front of me and I got two huge mitts to catch it, I'm going to just let it go by. I mean, I don't know how many times a week Eli and his receivers practice running their games, running their routes, running their schemes, but it seems like Eli and his receivers are not on the same page. It's all for Cruz. Cruz, he's right on the money. He seems to put the work in. Eli seems to hit the films, hit the books, and he puts the work in. But for some reason, there's two things. I don't think the Giants are putting in the practice like they should. I don't know how many times a week they actually do field practice and then film study and then go over the plays. I've seen other teams really do brutal practices all the time, and they're like fast, quick, and they know what they're doing. Two, the Giants seem to have no heart. They seem to lose heart. Like if they don't have the game won in the first 8 minutes, all of a sudden they give up, they run out of gas, they lose their heart. And that's what I've been seeing over the last 3 years. And the third thing is the management has had to see that their defensive line and their offensive line has been growing old and fading out. I would know that, I'm at my job, if I know a guy's going to retire or, he's out in like maybe 2 years, I'm going to start going shopping for another guy. I can't believe that management hasn't had anybody in the rears ready to jump in for the offensive lines to replace the center, the guards, the tackles, on both sides of the lines.
All right, so we let you make your points. I think there is some validity to most of what you said, but not everything. So we're going to let you go, and I'm going to say this.
Okay.
They did draft defensive linemen. JPP's a young defensive lineman. DeMontre Moore's a young defensive lineman. Hankins is a young defensive lineman. They have tried to retool the defensive line some. The offensive line, however, has certainly been neglected to the point where the injuries and the age have caught up to them. That's the responsibility of upper management, the front office, the personnel department, to see what they've got, to evaluate it properly, and then to move forward. At this point, it looks like perhaps there were some miscalculations done. I think, the evidence to this point looks like that was the case. So I think that's a valid comment and a valid criticism, that the Giants have no heart over the last 3 years. I don't think that's a valid criticism. I think that, they need some bite. They need some junkyard dog in them. They need some more anger. But heart, I don't know if I agree with that. Preparation-wise, I think Anita and I would both tell you we believe very strongly in Tom Coughlin and his preparation. And I'm not going to buy that part of what you said. But here's what I am going to do in terms of your Eli Manning question. I'm going to ask Anita to put her Eli Manning shoes on for just a minute. I want you to play Eli Manning for me, okay? Your offensive line has been suspect at best, okay? Protected the pass a little bit better the last couple of weeks. But for the most part, suspect. Your offensive line really hasn't blocked very well at all for the run. Your running backs haven't really proven that they could get anything done. Your receivers have had trouble either getting open or catching passes even when they're thrown to them. And you're coming up out of the huddle to the line of scrimmage. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking if the defense is coming after me, I'm thinking short dump off, short, nice and easy, quick, get some yards. I'm thinking screen pass. I'm thinking mass protect if I'm going to take a shot downfield. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, how am I going to counter the fact that these guys are getting to me?
And that's probably about the only thing you can do given the situation, which, of course, is against everything the Giants have done for years.
Is that what you were getting at?
That's my point, is that the Giants right now, because of their deficiencies, are almost forced into a box that doesn't fit them. That's not the way they've played for all of these years. But what you're suggesting is absolutely right. That's about the only answer you can have for the way things have fallen. And it's unnatural for them to think in those terms. That's not the way this team usually runs.
Because the offense typically always works.
Bingo. So they're in uncharted territory here, and okay. They're trying to morph, and it's hard for them.
I understand that. But obviously, after 5 weeks, what you have is not working.
Yeah.
So it is broke. So you do need to fix it. And as Eli Manning said earlier this week, listen, because the NFC is just such a mess as a whole, the Giants still have an opportunity here if they could turn it around. So why not change the offense? We thought going into the Philadelphia Eagles game that they were going to try some new stuff, and I think David Wilson was a big part of that, but he got injured early. So then I think they had to go back to their old stuff.
Yeah.
Agree or disagree?
I totally agree.
Yeah. So interesting to see what they do this week against the Chicago Bears.
I mean, it's a hard thing to go against everything that you've done, which has succeeded and won you championships and put up big numbers, and, hey, that's what you are. It's hard to go against the grain. But as Anita said, things are broken now. You've got to change it. You can't keep going to the well if the well is dry. And that's kind of where the Giants are right now. They're in desperation mode. They've got to change things.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, welcome.
What's going on, Anita?
How are you?
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm all right. What's up, Paul?
Hey.
Man. This team, it is very talented, and that's what I think is wrong. Like, we got too many skill players. Too many skill players. And not enough, like you said just earlier, we don't have the dog. We don't have, like I've been saying for weeks now, we don't have them lunch pail guys. We need them Sobers. We need them O'Haras. We need them McKenzies. And we don't have that, especially on this line. Like, this offensive line is terrible, and I do blame Reese. I blame Reese. He needed to see this happening. That's his job. That's his job, to bring in as much talent as possible. And you didn't bring in as much talent as possible on the offensive line because McCants can't get it done. Whoever else we brought in can't get it done. I do not like Cordell. It's just in flux with me with this offensive line. Like, where's the aggressive guys? We ain't getting none. And we can't act like, oh, there wasn't none available, because there were guys available in free agency that was going just for cheap.
Well, I will say this. I will say this, Shakes, and please understand, Your criticism is valid, especially when you consider the Giants' draft over the past 5 years. You know, other than drafting Beattie in the second round some years ago and drafting Pugh in the first round this year, they have not really spent a lot of high draft picks on fortifying this offensive line. As it continued to get older and as it continued to get injured, they did not do that. Now, one of the things they thought they could do was spend the money to bring in somebody like David Boss. And they thought that maybe free agency, by plugging somebody in and throwing a lot of cash out there, was going to be one of the ways that they could fortify the line. That turned out not to work out so well. The other problem with that is, when you do that and you make a mistake, or you put forth a lot of money to try to get a guy or two like that, you now stress your salary cap, because it's not so easy to undo a financial mistake thanks to the NFL's salary cap. So there's a little bit of a hamstringing here that has gone on, but at the same time, the Giants almost put themselves into that position by not drafting higher offensive linemen over the last several years. And Anita, I know you've covered the Ravens, the Dolphins, the Giants. The common thread that I know you have seen, and I haven't even asked you this question yet, but I know what you're going to tell me. The common thread is that the most successful of those teams, whatever years they were, had a tough offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you hear that phrase used often in this game, and that is it's one in the trenches. And there's a reason why you hear that all the time on both sides of the ball. That's where it begins. You know, in order for an offense to have success, a quarterback needs at least 3 seconds to get a pass off, and a running back needs holes to run through. Defensively, in order for a defense to have success, you need to get after a quarterback. And who does that? Your defensive line. Those are your two most important areas on a football field, on a team. So,
I mean, this goes back to the 60s. You know, it's not new. You got to win the trenches.
201-939-4513. Again, 201-939-4513. Also, all things social media, you can find us at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Paul, I'm looking through some of the tweets that we're receiving during the show. This is from AJ Marshall, 13, wants to know what's the update with Corey Webster. As we know, he didn't play last week. Is he going to play tomorrow?
Well, Corey hasn't practiced all week because of this groin pull, and quite frankly, I'm not so confident that he will play this week either, which again means it's up to McBride, given that Aaron Ross is on IR because of his back injury. Not good. Corey Webster was one of the guys the Giants were counting on to have a bounce back season this year.
This is from NFL NYG 43. So Myers can't block, but system is blocking. Wilson can't protect, but system needs protection. Your comments make no sense to me.
Well, what has happened is the Giants thought when they drafted Wilson that he was an incredible talent who would be able to pick up the NFL game a lot quicker than he has. That has not been the case.
Right.
You know, sometimes you project a guy to be able to do this and that and this and that, and the projection just doesn't fit the reality. It's going to happen sometimes, especially when you're drafting someone. Now, a free agent is a little bit different because he's been in the league. He's kind of got a resume already. You know what he can and cannot do. There's a body of work there. And we knew from the beginning that Brandon Myers was not a terrific blocker. Again, we just didn't know how bad he was. The Giants have done everything they can to try to teach him technique to get him better, and it's just not happening.
This tweet, again, at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. This is from Wes Payne. Best excuse I've heard all year for Eli and Gilbride. Giants are used to throwing small passes. Really? Put me in, I'll do it. It's not that they're not used to throwing small passes. It's that it's not part of their game plan to be a dink and dunk offense. That's not the way that this game, that this offensive game plan is set up. But obviously, they don't have the talent right now to execute their offensive schemes, their offensive game plan. So they have to change that. And because this organization has never had been in this situation, because they've always been able to eventually have success, get the offense clicking, that they've never had to readjust, and they need to. And I do believe that there was a game plan to readjust against the Philadelphia Eagles that was going to incorporate David Wilson in a very big way against the Philadelphia Eagles, and unfortunately he got injured. So then they had to go back to their old ways. I don't know that for a fact. I have not had a chance to talk to Kevin Gilbride this week, but I have a feeling that that is what happened.
They actually tried to do a little bit of that against Kansas City. But then after the punt return by McCluster went back for the touchdown, everything went into the garbage can, and they had to just start throwing long again. And so they weren't able to do that. You know, Anita, it's really a very, very important factor here that so many people are forgetting. Now, of course, we're talking about the reasons why the Giants aren't playing well. But a result of them not playing well is the fact that, you know, this year they've only had the lead 3 times in a game all season. And their largest lead was 7-0 when they scored the first touchdown last week against Philadelphia. How many teams you think are going to succeed when they're playing under those circumstances? And how much do you think that changes the philosophy of what they're trying to do when it seems like they're constantly trying to climb uphill? That's no fun.
No, No, I don't think the season is fun right now, Paul. You're absolutely right. This is not fun. This is not fun for anyone. 201-939-4513. We go to Antonio calling in from Memphis.
How you doing?
Hey, I've never been to Memphis, but it's one of those cities that is on my bucket list. I definitely want to check it out.
Oh, you got to come down.
I do. I know I do.
Yeah, it's like 90 degrees in during December.
Well,
but you might enjoy it.
Well, I'm originally from Miami, so
okay.
Yeah, that's Christmas for me.
Well, let me start by saying good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, I wanted to piggyback about two callers ago where he was saying about Eli. It's not Eli's fault. Wait, let me say this. I'm a big fan of the Jazz. I have for 25 years. But is it me or does it seem just like the Giants never take advantage of the other team's weakness, whether it's Gilbride or Furrell, you know? And as far as Eli, it just seems like he just can't even throw a screen right. I mean, trust me, he's earned the right to make some free mistakes because he has won two Super Bowls. But it seems like I've been following his career. It just seems like he just cannot throw the quick slant or the screen pass as accurate as some other quarterbacks. Maybe that's just me, but that's what it seems like to me. But to me, it just seems like the Giants never take advantage of the other team's weakness at no point of time. They always stick to the game plan. Sometimes you have to adjust, and it seems like what's going on to me.
Well, I would say this to you. I think the Giants have thrown enough of slants to Victor Cruz and the tight ends over the years to say that Eli is certainly capable of doing that well. So I'm going to disagree with that point. But in terms of the screen, they don't throw enough of screens for anybody to make a judgment as to
right.
how well Eli throws it.
I know he never makes it right.
but they hardly use it. So that's I don't know if that criticism is fair either. What I will say is they tried to throw one a couple of weeks ago to Darrell Scott, and it went right through his hands.
Right.
And quite frankly, Brandon Jacobs has dropped a couple of those this year already too.
Right. Well, let me say this. I have went through the days of Danny Cannell and Dave Brown. So he is my champion when it comes to that. So I understand it. But it just seems like to me, you know, I just think that the Giants need to scrap it. They need some new offensive blood, man, just a new offensive coordinator. It just seems like everybody's seen Gilbride stuff. You know, he's been around since, Houston, the days of Buddy Ryan on the sideline fighting?
Well, he's a lifer. There's no doubt. He's a lifer. Hey, look. Let me just say this to you, and I seriously mean this, despite all the joking around about the things that have gone wrong here. I truly believe that Eli Manning is still in the prime of his career, and I think that despite the collateral damage that has affected him this season, and he's not played well, no one's going to kid you about that. I still think Eli's got 3, 4, 5 really good years in front of him. I just hope that the Giants are able to fix enough things around him that he is able to get back to the level that he's supposed to be at.
I agree. Eli's the man, and don't get me wrong. I dog him, but sometimes it just seems like, which I know he can get the Giants to where they need to be. So I'm not calling for another quarterback.
I'm glad to hear that because some people are. You know, Geno Smith is the flavor of the month nowadays around here.
Yeah. So, no, I'm just calling for a new assistant or something just to inject some new life in the offense, man. The defense played pretty good. They keep the Giants in the game. I see that. Although they got some holes, but they do keep them in the game.
I hear you.
They just need some new info, just a little young talent somewhere.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Did you just say that Geno Smith is the flavor of the day?
In New York, everybody seems to be in love with this guy because he led a fourth quarter comeback to a field goal. Big whoop-de-doo.
Doesn't he look like Juan Pierre's doppelganger?
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought of that.
Doesn't he?
I suppose so. I hadn't thought about it, though.
Do you know Juan Pierre?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, I just want to make sure.
That's okay.
Because usually when I say that, folks are like, oh, you're right! And I didn't get that reaction. Right? Doesn't he look like, do you guys know? Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Okay. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Laura. Let's get some estrogen, more estrogen in on this show. Laura, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Thanks. I'm calling from Colorado. Can I tell you how different this is? I'm not used to this. I haven't lived here very long.
What is different? What do you mean? What is
the timing?
Oh.
It's like 8 a.m. right now.
Okay, so you just moved to Colorado.
Yeah.
From New York?
From Virginia.
Oh, okay.
But I've always been I was raised a Giants fan.
Okay.
Because I'm awesome.
Well, you have the big brother. over there.
Yeah.
You could be like a pseudo, like, you know, closet.
No.
No? Okay.
I couldn't do that.
Okay.
I don't think I'd be able to do that very well.
Blood is blood, but anyway.
Exactly. Antrell Roll in his locker room interview a week and a half ago, technically, said that there's a lack of cohesion on the team and that they need more, like, togetherness. So, statistically speaking, the more cohesiveness a team has, the greater success they're going to have, which then creates this repetitive pyramid with greater satisfaction also. But at this point, we've had 35 total penalties for a total of 314 yards this season alone out of our lovely 0-5 streak that we now have going on. Also, touching on this week a little bit, Coughlin said in his post-game interview, press conference, whatnot, that the confusion over the timeouts that we lost over what was then a lack of communication over the timeouts versus the challenge was all due to a lack of communication. So if that was due to a lack of communication, we've had a few illegal shifts, a few delay of games. How many of these penalties and how many of these losses have we not needed to endure just because there's a lack of communication?
Wow. Thank you for your call so early in the morning in Colorado. And, Paul, that went way over my head. So I'm sorry. I'm not done with my first cup of coffee myself, and it's only 10:15 here on the East Coast.
I need to pass the Excedrin. I agree with you that the timeout situation last weekend was not good. You know, Tom said he had to settle the team down and call the timeout before he threw the flag on what he believed should have been an incomplete pass by the Eagles. I think that's what you're referring to. And so they were forced to waste a timeout while they sorted out what they wanted to do in terms of a possible challenge. I thought that was poor. Quite frankly, I just would have thrown the challenge myself. But, hey, you know what? Tom admitted the mistake. He took the rap for it, and we move forward. In terms of other communication problems, I don't know that the Giants' issues are about communication. I think it's about everything else we've talked about. You know, the trenches and the injuries, and right now the horrible black cloud that's hovering over this place in terms of the self-doubt and the misery of losing and the horrible feeling that it leaves in your mouth. I think that those are the things right now that are more concerning to me than, quote, communication. Because I've seen the Giants have communication breakdowns where guys are running free in the secondary. There's no one around for 10 yards. Or there's nobody, nearly on the same page. I don't think that's the case right now. Now, it does happen occasionally in offense. You'll see something every once in a while. It looks a bit disjointed. But I don't see those widespread communication issues that you're referring to. And that's about the best way I can answer the question.
201-939-4513. Let me say this as well in regard to the Giants. And that is, when a team is losing, it's one thing to go on a 2 or 3 game losing streak, okay? It's another to start the season 0-5. And it is hard for a team to come together and have cohesiveness. I had this conversation yesterday with one of our producers, and that is, you know, when you look at this team, when you look around the NFL, these are the top football players in the world, okay? What does that mean? It means whether they were in Pop Warner, high school, college, they were on winning ball clubs. You know what I'm saying? Like. You've got guys who've rarely been in a situation where they start a season 0-5. Yeah, I'm sure that there's some veterans on this team who've been on other teams that have struggled. Or I'm not saying all of them, but this is difficult. You're talking about top-notch athletes in the world being on a team that's not winning, and that's difficult for these guys. On top of that, I mean, just not even to go into the ego of a professional athlete. okay? And on top of that, this is the New York Football Giants organization. This isn't the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay? I mean, this is the New York Football Giants. There is a history here. There is a there is pride. It's just this is a tough time. It really is. I understand the fans are frustrated and they're angry and they pay a lot of money for their PSLs and they want a great product and I totally understand all of that. Please don't think for a second that this isn't a tough time for the Mara family, for this organization, for the coaching staff, for the players. It's a tough time.
Let me ask you a question because you are one of the most fierce competitors I've ever known.
Huh?
No, you are.
Yeah, watch. I'm a mean flip cup player.
Look, I wouldn't even want to challenge you in tiddlywinks, okay? I wouldn't.
But you would want me on your flip cup team. That's all I got to say.
You could be on my team anytime.
Okay.
There are 40% of the players on this roster who have never touched the NFL postseason. It is partially my belief, and we've discussed this now for the last couple of weeks, that part of what's happened here is that these guys haven't tasted enough success at this level. In previous levels, yes, but not at this level. I really believe that there is something to the Parcells theory, that winning breeds winning, that you have to feel good about yourself, that you have to taste success and share it with your fellow teammates to then build on that and then to enhance it and sustain it and then to get it back when you're in a slump. And, of course, then you get the whole chicken and the egg question. Well, how do you win if you haven't won first? But I really believe that somehow, some way, the Giants have a bunch of guys on this team who haven't had that shot of confidence, that shot of gusto to say, hey, you know what? I do have some swagger. I have been a playoff player in the NFL before. I am among the best of the best of the best because I have gone to the NFL playoffs. I think there's something to that. I could be wrong, but you're a competitor now. You tell me, if you haven't tasted success in a particular arena that you are participating in, whether it be radio, whether it be flag football, whether it be, you know, your weekend softball league or whatever the case may be, don't you believe that at some point you have had to have at least sipped some success in that particular venue to make you have that swagger? You don't just have swagger unless you've succeeded. No?
Right, but that's my point, Paul, is that you're talking about gut players, athletes, men that have made it to the NFL have tasted that success.
But then they didn't get it at this level yet, and I think that's what's missing because it's different to win in college than it is to win in the NFL. It's different.
I understand that. But I think very few men in the NFL have been in a situation where they've been on a team that has started this poorly.
Oh, yeah. See, we actually agree. We're just coming at it from a different angle. What I'm saying is that unfamiliarity with that losing ways is messing some of these guys up.
Yeah.
We actually are coming at this the same crossroads
here. So all you had to say is, yeah, Anita, I agree.
I guess I do.
And then we could have moved on to our
callers. I'm sorry.
Yeah. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Andrew calling in from New Jersey. Andrew, welcome.
Welcome. First, it's good to hear that Shakes is still with us. I was worried about him, but it's good to hear his voice.
Okay.
And my question is, so who are the starting cornerbacks this week?
Well, it looks like Prince and Tremaine McBride. That's what it looks like.
Could be a high scoring like the Dallas-Denver game, and hopefully we'll come on the other side of it, not like Romo. And my other question is, you're talking about the offensive line and the salary cap. And next year, a lot of one-year contracts, so they could be in good shape as far as the salary cap and signing free agents because a lot of the guys will be gone, plus players that they might retain, like the center, David Bass, or Boss, and not Kareem, I want to say Kareem, the guy on the left tackle.
Well, Beatty's going to be here.
Yeah, Beatty, but maybe they could renegotiate and take a salary cut.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And my other question is, now that Brandon Jacobs is not a full-time, he might be this week the number one back, but now that he's not the full-time starter, why doesn't he play a little H-back, a little fullback? Because he could carry the ball from the H-back position. You know, just pepper that in. That's my
question. Well, he doesn't have the skill set. He doesn't really have the skill set, believe it or not, to play that spot.
Right.
But the Giants are certainly hoping that he can be the bell cow in Chicago, and he's going to have to be, quite honestly. That's all I got.
Okay. Let's continue. We have Lynn calling in from Columbia, Maryland. What do I always say? A show is never complete without Lynn calling in.
Thank you, Anita. You say that a lot, and I appreciate it.
From Maryland.
Paul, I just wanted to say I think your strategy for Thursday night, offensive strategy, you know, attacking the soft underbelly with the injuries and frankly a talent deficiency on the Bears inside is really probably a good idea. I know some people can scoff at that because the running attack hasn't worked that well, but I think that's the idea, straight ahead. You know, our bodies against their bodies, and you know, let's see if we can make some yardage on first down, 4 or 5 yards on first down, and strike big on second down. On the other side of the ball, I'd like to see us attack that soft underbelly of the Bears' offensive line. You know, the best part of our defense have been those defensive tackles, and that's where I want to attack Cutler. I want to attack Cutler inside, and if we blitz inside and we take our chances and we force Cutler to get the ball out of his hands before he really wants to get the ball out of his hands.
The only bad news there, Len, is that they've been using a lot of checkdowns to Forte this year. That's a new part of their playbook. And Forte has been very effective.
He's got a lot of catches. There's no question about that. Interesting thing on kick returns, Paul and Anita. Hester's got 16 kickoff returns, Paul. I don't think there's anybody in the league that's got kickoff returns in double figures. Either Hester's taken it back from 8 yards deep in the end zone, or he's been running into situations where, you know, there's been a lot of wind in Chicago. I don't know that for a fact, but point is, Hester's taking the ball out, and we gotta be careful there. I think he's got 180 yarder.
He does.
And you know, here's where I go with a piece of strategy for you guys. You know, I've noticed on kickoff returns that teams are putting 6 guys up on the front line. It's usually 5. It's almost like they're thinking, well, you know, the ball's going to get kicked out of the end zone. Let's watch out for the onside kick, et cetera. I would watch Chicago very closely. If they're trying to set up Hester and they're sitting with 5, maybe even 4 guys up on that front line, hey, if we get an early lead, guys, let's try the onside kick. Paul, I liked your question that you asked Anita about getting inside, you know, Eli's head, and I liked Anita's answer. I mean, you know, I always respect Anita's opinion on things, and I thought that was a good one. Let me just add one thing from my perspective on this. You know, the one thing I've admired and thought about Eli over the years is once a play is over, the play is over. And his whole thought process is how to make the next play, not 5 or 6 plays down the road, the next play work to its maximum efficiency. And I think that's one of the reasons why the ball gets snapped with 2, 3, 4, maybe even 1 second left on the, you know, on the clock there. But I think it's about that play. I think he forgets quickly, and he's just on to the forward. He's on to the next play, and that's one of the things I always admired him, always admired about Eli. Let me ask one more thing. If you're the Bears, guys, if you're the Bears and you're game planning for tomorrow night's game, and this is a serious question, and I know it's probably going to cause a lot of laughs out there, anybody who's listening in, but what are you worried about? If you're the Bears, what are you telling your defense?
You're probably worried about Victor Cruz's yards after the catch because he continues to do that time after time after time. And you're probably also worried about the potential of Knicks going long and beating you deep. But that's about it. I don't think there's anything else on this Giants defense right now that causes any trepidation among other teams. I think that's fair. Anita?
Spencer, do you agree? You talked about offense, and then I missed the word that you said because that tempts me to say, but if you're worried about anything on the Giants defense, what are you planning for? Maybe you just said it, Paul. I don't know. I missed it.
No. There's nothing to be worried about. Okay. The Giants defense against the run, especially in the interior, has been solid. But to make somebody worried? No.
Yeah, okay.
No.
Okay.
There's nothing here.
I know. It's the kind of question, buddy. You know, you just wonder in these war rooms amongst the other teams on the offensive and defensive side, when they're looking at the film, what are they thinking the Giants are going to do? And I think you've answered the question. I'm repeating the question, and you've given me a good answer. And I don't propose to have the answer, so I really wanted to hear from you guys, what you think about how these other teams are planning.
Lynn.
Okay, hey, look, they're in a little bit of a spiral, the Bears. We lost a couple games in a row. It's hard to lose five games in a row, Paul, in the NFL. Hard to lose five games in a row. Man, you're a bad team playing bad.
Yeah.
I think we turn it around tomorrow night. I think we get a win here. I think we start to feel good about ourselves. You alluded to that. And I think we get on a little bit of run here. Hey, let's go Giants. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Lynn. I think Lynn poses a real good question in regard to going into this game on Thursday night. What do the Bears fear in regard to the Giants? Offensively, I think you're right. I think it's the Victor Cruz yak, yards after the catch, containing Victor Cruz. I'm anticipating Charles Tillman to be on Hakeem Nicks. Agree or disagree?
Yeah.
So I think that takes Hakeem Nicks out of the equation. Brandon Myers has not really been able to get much going, but a big reason for that is because the Giants, in all honesty, they've needed him to stay home and help pass protect for Eli Manning. So the tight end position hasn't been a big key to this offense. You saw Reuben Randall have a big game last week. Now, will he build off of that? Has he built trust with Kevin Gilbride and Eli Manning, or is he going to be a part of this game plan going forward, going in the backfield? I don't know. I don't know if there's a really big threat with Brandon Jacobs and Darrell Scott. Now, when you're hopefully they make it into the red zone and there's a short yardage situation. We know Brandon Jacobs, he's a truck. It's kind of hard to bring him down, especially for like a 195, 210 DB, if he could make it through the line and the linebacking core. So I really don't think that there's a lot to be worried about offensively except Victor Cruz. I think you hit that nail on the head. Defensively, in years past, Jay Cutler has been one of those quarterbacks, Paul, who's really been beat up a lot. So, this defensive line, kind of give me your scouting report on the offensive line of the Chicago Bears and the defensive line of the New York Football Giants. Do you feel that they can get to Jay Cutler and rattle his cage?
Well, I'm not so sure that they can, to be honest with you, especially since they're telling Cutler to get rid of the ball quickly to Forte if he feels any heat. They're telling him to use Forte as the safety valve. That's why he's only taken 9 sacks this year, Anita. That's not a terrible number considering where we are in the season. So they've tried to help him out a bit. And let's not forget, the fact that Forte runs the ball really well takes a lot of pressure off of him as well. I think Len makes one point that is really hammering home at this point in the season. When you thought about the Giants defense, even during the Super Bowl season a couple of years ago, and you said, okay, you better make sure you know where so-and-so is. Well, in that case, it was usually JPP. You had to make sure you knew where JPP was. You had to make sure you knew if he and Tuck were going to be swapping out or if Tuck was going to be sliding inside the defensive tackle. Tuck was a guy you kind of wanted to keep your eye on, too. But, you look at this defense now. Is there one guy? And Len's right. There's really not on defense. The way this team is playing now, that you have to say, okay, we need to make sure we know where he is. We need to make sure we get a hat on him. We need to watch him on every play. Right now, there's nobody on this defense who you can say that about. That's a problem.
Let's continue with our calls. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Jack, calling in from Pennsylvania.
Go ahead.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
A lot of calls today, by the way. A lot of calls.
A couple quick statements about everybody on Eli's back and Joe Bryant's back. I mean, it all comes down to the offensive line. And that's where it all starts. A few years ago when this offense was, you know, a potent offense, the O-line was opening holes for Brandon Jacobs, who's really not all that fast, but he was running downfield for 40 yards. I mean, that's what's going to make everything click. Other than that, my question is, John Beason, how effective do you think he can be in the middle of the defense?
Great question. Thank you for the phone call, Jack. Appreciate it. Because right before we sat down, I asked you what was your take on him last game. You said he really didn't get in at linebacker, but he did get in at special teams. So what are you anticipating this week from John?
Well, I could tell you this. From what I've heard, he is a very, very, very quick study. And he has picked up enough of the package that the Giants may be able to try to get him in there for a few snaps. How many, I just don't know. But they would like to see him try to get on the field a little bit against the Bears. He appears to be in good shape. I'll say that. Now, you know, we're only going to know when he's in the game how many hits he can take and how many hits he can deliver and exactly what is his ability to run left and right. We know that the Panthers decided that his injuries were just too much to bear, and they decided to get rid of him in the deal. So that leaves a lot of question marks in terms of what can he physically do. Look, the Giants took the same flyer when they brought in Aaron Curry during the offseason, and after watching him during the preseason and training camp, they finally decided the wheels are just not there anymore, and it's not worth keeping him around. This is a flyer. You know, what did you say before about the Giants' offense? It's broken. You better fix it. You got to make a move. You're 0-5. You know, if you don't do something now, you know, shut the barn door.
Because, again, and just to go back and reiterate what Eli Manning told the media earlier on Monday, and that is, look, this NFC East, a lot of people are calling it the NFC Least, it's still wide open. I mean, you've got Dallas and Philadelphia all tied up, right, 2-3.
Yeah.
You know, the Washington Redskins are coming off of a bye. And if the Giants can turn it around, it's still for the taking, where it is giving this team a little extra motivation. Now, let's go. Dallas plays Washington this
yes.
week.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we as Giants fans, want the Redskins to win that game.
You would think so, sure.
Right?
No question.
Philadelphia plays the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Which now they have a new quarterback in Mike Glennon.
Who knows what they're going to be?
I
have no idea what the Buccaneers are going to bring to the table.
So obviously Giants fans want to root for the Washington Redskins and also want to watch and root for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Quick note, and how this pertains to the New York Football Giants, is that Josh Freeman signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, the Minnesota Vikings, get this, are you aware of how much money he's making this year?
No.
So he was still due like $6.85 million from the Tampa Bay Bucks. So even though they cut him, they were still due to pay him. So he's still going to receive that money. And the Minnesota Vikings paid him another $3 million for a one-year deal.
Oh, that's great.
So, and this is where I'm going with this, is I highly doubt the Minnesota Vikings are paying him $3 million
to sit.
So he is not going to play this week. I think they're giving him – I think Matt Castle is expected to play this week. I think they're giving him a good 2 weeks to learn the system. Do not be surprised if Josh Freeman
plays
is the starting quarterback Monday night for the Minnesota Vikings against
mm-hmm.
the Giants. I am anticipating that. And I think that will be an interesting game. So, again, Philadelphia going up against the Tampa Bay Bucks, Dallas and Washington going at it should be an interesting week.
And by the way, Anita, in 2 weeks when the Giants are playing Minnesota, Dallas is in Philly, and Washington is hosting Chicago. it is such a clouded, parity-driven mess. If the Giants were to be the Giants that we expected at the beginning of the season, is it fair of me to say that they could beat Chicago, Minnesota, Philadelphia, and Oakland and actually run off four wins in a row and get to 4-5 if they were the Giants we thought they were going to be a month and a half ago? Is that fair?
Yeah.
So maybe it's time they take off this mask and unveil themselves, and will the real Giants please stand up?
Brian in Philadelphia, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, it sucks. I just want to add, it sucks when you live in Philly and lose to these guys. But, you know, it is what it is. You've never seen them hoist a Lombardi, so never worry, because I called yesterday, and the guy was like, oh, boy, calling from Philly. But it's no big deal. These guys out here, they're weak. They got to hoist the Lombardi trophy up for me first. But, you know, I wanted to say, you know, I'm 35 years old, so I've been a Giants fan since I was 7. And my father was a Redskins fan, so I'm a Giants fan by choice. I never witnessed 0-5 in my lifetime. Of course, you know, it was the first time for everything. Now I know what, like, Jacksonville Jaguars fans, so, like, no disrespect to the Jaguars, but we never in my lifetime been 0-5, so that's kind of, like, weird. But like you guys were saying, and I think that gives me hope that we don't have a Denver in our division. You know, we don't have a New Orleans in our division, whereas though we're looking up now saying, well, they're going to win a division. We don't even have a chance. We still have a chance. It's nasty looking. 0-5 is real nasty looking, but it's we still have a chance, and that's the key. And you broke down those four games that we have next. Those are possible win games. You know, we don't have a juggernaut. I mean, any week in football, you know, is different. Anybody can beat anybody, but you know, we've always started off fast, a 6-2, and we'll start off, then we'll lose four straight. Maybe it's a chance that, you know, we're just starting off real messed up, real slow, because I look at the power rankings and it just don't look right to see us down at like 30 and 31. It just don't look right, you know what I'm saying? And you know, I just, you know, I don't believe it's anybody on that team. It's definitely not Eli, and it's not, you know, Gilbride. Everybody seems like they want to throw these guys under the bus, but I understand we're 0-5 and you want to be mad at something, but you can't be mad at a quarterback that's a two-time Super Bowl MVP, that's a comeback kid. You can't sleep on that, because if you look at all the games we had, what hurt us the most? Turnovers. Once we got that one turnover, it seemed like it got to us, and we're saying, "Up, here it is again. Here we go again. The Brandon Jacobs fumble." You know what I mean? Things like
well,
that.
You know
it's
what's
like
interesting?
Let me say this, Brian.
We've been in every game. If
yeah,
you think about it.
But Brian, let me say this, and this is a comment that I'm going to bring this full circle. This is a comment that Antrell Roll made a little bit earlier. The guys that were on the sideline, let's say a turnover happened, the guys that were on the sideline in the ear of the players saying, we still got this, keep your head in the game, keep your head up, we got – that's the Ahmad Bradshaw who's no longer on this team. That's the Deion Grant who's no longer on any team. Who else is gone that was – and I hate to use the word cheerleader, but
I mean, we had OC. OC's not there. He's been
well,
with
he
us
wasn't
for
so
what,
much
he,
a cheerleader,
he
but certainly you want to talk about a voice on the sideline. How about Hall of Famer Michael Strahan, who was the ultimate voice, but he's a few years removed.
Yeah, but I'm talking recently. So that is, you know, granted, we could sit here and we could talk about Eli Manning's interceptions, and we could talk about the fact that the running game is non-existent, but there are certain factors that need to establish and exist in a football team. And that those are vocal leaders, okay? And unfortunately, because of salary cap and whatnot, the vocal leaders that were really the driving force and the motivators on the sideline during a game, unfortunately, are no longer part of this team. I mean, Eli Manning is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, but he's not a rah-rah-rah guy on the sideline. And you see that during the cutaways on the broadcast. I mean, you know, there is a value to that. Don't ever underestimate that in that being needed on a team.
but you guys don't think I think our defense is, I think JPP is just coming off from that injury. I think he was all right last week. I seem like he had a little bit more pep in his step. I don't see nothing wrong with our defense. I just think our offense is not rolling. And when our offense is not rolling, then you got our defense on the field forever. We stayed with Vic, and then we held McCoy for under 100 yards.
Well, you know, the shame of it is, in the Denver game and the Kansas City game, the Giants were still alive until a special teams touchdown really put the hammer to them. And so that wasn't
quarter.
Even – well, yeah, but, I mean, that wasn't even an offensive mistake or a defensive mistake. In those two instances, the Giants were snuffed out by a special teams touchdown, which makes it even more concerning because that's another part of the game that hasn't been working as effectively as it should.
Right.
You see? Look, there's a lot of things that need fixing here. This is not just a magic potion that says, okay, it's the offense, it's the defense. No, there's a lot of stuff that's gone wrong.
Yeah, I know. And with me, it just feels bad. My eating, after a game, I can't even eat. That's how I know I love the Giants, because I don't feel right, you know what I mean? It's like, this is not us, and I just either want us to just win a game or just get this season over with and start all over again. So,
hey, that's
know,
what makes you a good fan, though, you know, because you care. That's cool.
Yeah, really, really. And I just want one way. I mean, we can talk about everything about, you know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're concerned fans and y'all guys and y'all doing y'all job, but we just need to get a win. Just one W, just give me a win, and I'm good to go.
Tom Coughlin is listening to your voice right now. Trust me, that's
yeah.
All he wants is just a win.
Yes,
thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys, for having me. All right.
You got it. All right, so.
Exhale.
All right. So let's recap.
Okay.
Okay, or let's preview. The team is leaving for Chicago around 12:30 this afternoon.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And the weather in Chicago, I understand, is good. And game time temperature is going to be mid-60s for kickoff tomorrow night.
That's nice.
That's really nice. I might stay on the field. I may not even sit in the box. I might go down on the bench the whole game. I might just do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you enjoy yourself, Paul Dottino.
I'm going to try.
You take it all in. We'll live vicariously through you.
It gets windy there.
Okay. So, game is on Thursday. Players return late Thursday night.
Actually, early Friday morning, and we're not going to have any type of media avails because Tom's going to try to give them a few hours to get home and sleep for a little bit and bring them in later, somewhere around lunchtime, I believe, and then they'll have some quick meetings and then meet with us late Friday afternoon.
Okay. So stay tuned to Giants.com. Tomorrow I'll be hosting with Lance Meadow, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, right here on Giants.com. Giving you a little pre-game
show. I could
leave
you my clone. No?
It's okay.
All right.
I think Lance and I can handle it.
Yeah, I know. You get enough of me after one day.
Also, we're going to have Eric Kennedy on, owner of Big Blue Interactive. So he'll be joining us tomorrow. Of course, we'll continue with your calls. And then players are back early morning Friday, talking to the media late Friday afternoon. And again, you can tune in to Giants.com for all the player post-game sound. Hopefully they will return 1-5.
We'll see.
Okay? Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.